Hi, everyone. Good morning and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That's the Hall of Famer, Chris Carter. This is Nick Wright. A great football Sunday, giving us a big show Monday, among other topics to be discussed. The Colts cracked the code against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. That means the Patriots are the last unbeaten team in the AFC, and we have our first coaching casualty of the season. But we start the show with America's Game of the Week. Packers came out swinging in Dallas yesterday, midway through the first. Here we go. Aaron Jones went in 18 yards to the end zone to put Green Bay up 7-0. 1-4 touchdowns on the day for Jones. Pick it up in the fourth now. 10:29 left. Dak trying to get the boys back in this. That never helps. One of his three picks on the day. And Za'Darius Smith with a casual reminder that the Packers were dominating. Fading hopes for Dallas, trailing by 10 here. Brett Maher missing a 33-yard field goal that would have gotten them within a touchdown. Packers win. They improve to 4-1, and they now sit atop their division. Cowboys lose at home. They're now tied with Philly after losing back-to-back games. Here's Dak Prescott after the loss.
I had three interceptions. I don't care how many yards I had or anything else like that. Three interceptions on a loss. I don't care what career high I have. None of that matters. We'll take this one on the chin. We're going to take the good, take the bad. We're going to learn from it. And hopefully we'll look back at this and say this was a turning point, or this was good for us. Sure, we might have sniffed ourselves a little bit too much. And that's why I said we take these last two games, and especially this one, and say, hey, we probably needed that, right? We probably needed that, and we're going to get better because of it. That's why I said maybe we'll look back at this four or five games later, or how many ever games it is, and say, that was good for us because we became the team that we are now. And the men that we have in the locker room, there's no doubt in my mind that's what we'll do. As I always would say, proud to be quarterback of this team. I have no doubt in my mind of what we're going to do moving forward.
Hey, nobody knows better what to say and how to say it than Dak Prescott following a win or a loss. Nick, I'll start with you. Why did Dallas lose this game to the Packers yesterday?
Well, they didn't come out ready at all. I mean, the first drive, first 4 minutes of the game, they looked ready, forced a three and out. They're moving the football. And then the moment that ball went off Amari Cooper's hands, what could have been a touchdown turns into an interception, Dallas folded. I mean, they were down. I understand they made a valiant comeback late to make the score respectable. They were down 31-3 in this football game. That game's over at 31-3. You would have to match the greatest regular season comeback in NFL history if you're going to come back from that moment. So how did they get down 31-3? Dak's right, he had three picks. And even if we want to say the first one was not his fault, that one right there definitely was his fault. And the third one, yeah, they could have called pass interference. Maybe they should have called pass interference. But he also threw a pick in the end zone that got wiped away because of an illegal contact penalty. Once again, the Cowboys show absolutely no ability to win a football game if Zeke doesn't play well. Now 1-8 if Zeke doesn't rush for 75 yards since he's been there. And the lack of Tyron Smith was enormous. Cam Fleming was getting dominated by Za'Darius or Preston Smith, whomever they lined up on the right side of the defense, left side of the offensive line. And that led to the Packers defense being able to tee off on Dak. And even though the Packers offense was shorthanded, they were able to move the ball enough early to where they could coast home late. This is the concern for the Cowboys was, yeah, you were 3-0 to start the year against teams that are combined 2-12. And now the last 2 weeks, you've played teams that are combined 4 or 8-2, and you were dominated defensively by New Orleans. You were dominated for three quarters in both phases by Green Bay. Sign of bad things for the Dallas Cowboys these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, this was a tough one right here. It's tough to figure out because you would think, in listening to Dak's comments, that after the New Orleans game, that would have been a wake-up call. I don't know what they had accomplished, because I guess the question was, were they feeling overconfident? He said, were we smelling ourselves? I don't know what they had done to make them smell themselves. Like, who had they beaten? What quality team? What great run had they been on? What type of records as a team have they? So for me, like, this is a young team that's still trying to learn how to win and how to be a championship team week in and week out. You have to be able to give Green Bay credit, though, because after a game that they gave away against Philadelphia where they got manhandled, they came out and got some respect back in this game. Green Bay has played well with Aaron Rodgers head-to-head against Dak, so I'm not surprised that Green Bay played well. I'm just surprised that Dallas didn't have an answer. And as Dak said, when you turn the ball over like that, regardless of what your numbers are, you're not going to win.
And when the game plan usually revolves around running Zeke, but you're down 28 points, you know you can't use the run game to get you back into a game like that. How concerned are you now with the Dallas Cowboys after they lost back-to-back games? You know what their competition was in the beginning. You know what they've been in the last two games. Is this all balancing out, or is this the real Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean,
team?
To me, the Cowboys through 5 weeks of the season look like a 9-win team that might win 10 games. You beat the bad teams. You struggle against the good teams. And you know who else thinks that might be the case is Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones said after the game, he said, two teams that have it together, and we didn't look like we had it together. At this point in the season, you can start to evaluate teams not just based on their record, but against whom those wins came against and against whom the losses came against. And if you're Dallas, you have to be greatly concerned that once again, you were in a spot where the defense said, we are not going to let Zeke beat us, and Dak couldn't take advantage until it was too late. I understand Amari ended up with a huge game, maybe his career best game, and that Dak threw for a career-high 460 yards. But a lot of those are hollow numbers when you make the mistakes Dallas made early to put themselves where they're playing catch-up. And the moment Green Bay is up four touchdowns, they're playing the clock. They're no longer playing Dallas. And this was on the other side of the ball. Green Bay moving the ball the way they did, see Aaron Jones having the best day of his career against that Dallas defense, that at least against New Orleans, the Dallas defense could say we played well. That's a concerning sign as well for the Cowboys.
Yeah, Dallas's linebackers didn't play well. If there's three things that I took from it with Green Bay, Aaron Jones had a tremendous day, but his longest run was only 18 yards. People would think that he had a run for 40 or 50. Tremendous running back if he's given the opportunity. And I think Green Bay, they fell into that because Williams, if he's not knocked out of the game, they were rotating. Carries. They were splitting carries. So Green Bay got lucky and got very fortunate in that. So I was surprised how bad the linebackers played. I'm surprised that Dallas's passing game isn't better. I would say the first two interceptions were the wide receivers' fault. The first one, Amari, the ball could have been a little bit in front of him, but you're always taught as a wide receiver, if I'm going to miss the football, all right, I want to miss the football going down. I never want to pop the football back up in the air because nothing but bad things happen. On the second interception, there was no separation between the wide receivers. Dak did eyeball the wide receiver, and the undercoverage was able to come off and intercept it because you got two receivers of Dallas that are sitting right next to each other. So those first couple, I thought at this point in the season, they would be throwing the ball a lot better. But you can see the lack of continuity because some of the guys, Michael Gallup, he's been out of the lineup. He's still not a deep threat after getting knee surgery 3 weeks ago. And then ultimately, with two offensive linemen out, there's no team in the NFL that's a good team with your left tackle out and your right tackle out. So for me watching the game, those are the three things that I say that Dallas, I was shocked about, okay? I'm shocked about the injury standpoint. I was shocked their linebackers. And at this point, after spending time talking to wide receiver coach Sanjay Lau, he thought that their passing game, and we saw signs of it the first 2 weeks of the season, it was going to be at A-plus form. They don't have an elite passing game at this stage of the season.
All right. Time now for Put a Grid on It, sponsored by CarMax, and we're sticking with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers finished with 238 yards. No touchdowns, but no picks. Nick, put a grade on Aaron Rodgers' day yesterday.
I give him a B+. I thought he played well, particularly in the first three quarters of this game, and given the fact they didn't have Devontae Adams, he still clearly doesn't have a ton of faith in these receivers. Those receivers had five catches total, but he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't take a bad sack until the very end of the game, and now the Packers sitting at 4-1 through a very tough first 5 weeks of the season. I give him a B+.
Yeah, I got to give him an A because he got this team off to the right start. They had a great game plan of how they were trying to attack Dallas. He was going to spread the ball around in early. Got a lot of pressure on him. He was able to get out of a number of bad plays potentially there for the Packers. I'm going to give him an A. They dominated the Dallas Cowboys. Man, what a great game plan coming in and out. So I believe that Aaron had something to do with that.
Yeah, the narrative coming in all week was he had no one to throw the ball to. Nobody was healthy. And then they came out early and they dominated. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. All right, moving on to Sunday night football. Chiefs and Colts, and this one not nearly as one-sided as many thought coming in. Scary moment in the third. Patrick Mahomes, backed up in his own end zone, gets his ankle stepped on by his own lineman, would limp off the field, but he would stay in the game, finish 22 of 39 for 321 yards and one touchdown. Fourth quarter, 5:48 left, third and 28. Mahomes shakes the pass rush, finds Byron Pringle for the catch, but he's tackled just shy of the first down there. Mahomes wants to go for it, and they do, but Damian Williams gets hit by former Chief Justin Houston, and they cannot convert on fourth down. Houston had a night against his old buddies. Two tackles for a loss and a sack. Chiefs suffer their first loss of the season as the Colts' defense gave them problems all night long. Here's Mahomes after the game.
They played good defense. I mean, they played man coverage. They rushed with four people, and they found ways to get pressure and to cover long enough. And so for us, I mean, Detroit did it last week. New England did it in the playoffs. I mean, we're gonna have to beat man coverage at the end of the day, and we got the guys to do it. So now it's about just going out there and executing whenever teams present it to us.
All right, there's a blueprint out there now, at least for one. Nick, how did the Colts upset the Chiefs?
They did exactly what Chris and Coach Mangini and all our guests repeatedly say. If you're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, what you need to do. They played keep away. They had 37 minutes time of possession. With 3 minutes left in the second half, the Chiefs had run 12 plays in the second half. Think about that. 12 plays in the first 27 minutes of the second half. The best way to stop Patrick Mahomes is keep him off the field. Second best way to stop Patrick Mahomes is to get pressure on him with four, which they consistently did. The Chiefs have been without their starting left tackle. During this game, they lost their starting left guard. And Cam Irving, who was in for the left tackle, simply in for Eric Fisher, could not hold up in pass coverage throughout the night. The Chiefs abandoned the run entirely. LeSean McCoy, after having a critical fumble early, didn't touch the ball again. And if you're one-dimensional, you're without Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins was active for the game and then instantly out, and you can't block, you're going to have trouble scoring the ball. You add to that that they could not stop the run. The defense, you see the Colts only scored 19 points. I think the defense played well, but not really. The Colts were just grinding out possession after possession, drive after drive. And so this is how you slow down the Chiefs. Keep Patrick Mahomes off the field and get pressure on him in his face. Teams have not shown the ability to consistently do that. This is the best defensive performance any team's put up against the Chiefs since Mahomes has been there by a wide margin. But this is the blueprint, and credit to the Colts. They're a team that plays zone about 75% of the time. They switched that almost 180 degrees, playing man a disproportionate amount of time, and that threw the Chiefs off, who were expecting to play a similar defense that they carved up in the playoff game last year.
Yeah, I can understand someone changing a game plan, but what I couldn't understand was how long it took the Chiefs to realize this is what people are going to do. There's only three things people can do. You can either play man, you can either play zone, or you can play a combination of both. That going into the game plan. So every time in Minnesota, we used to always have a game plan, expect them to play man, expect them to blitz. What else are they going to do? Because we played three wide receivers and we ran the ball so much better than Kansas City would ever be able to run it. They play cover two, because in cover two, you can slow down the running game. So for me, the way to beat Kansas City has been, yes, keep the ball away from them. And that is ball control or by turnovers. The other thing that I said before we started the season was they have a number of undersized. Out of their six people they're going to target, five of them are undersized. You can take the ball away from them. They have poor ball security. So you can make them fumble. And then they go out and get Shady McCoy, who's always had bad ball security as far as keeping the ball away from his body. The one thing I always worried about the Chiefs, even if they get the lead, how are they going to keep it? I tell Nick, how are they going to get that four-minute drive to milk out that clock? Because once they got rid of Carlos Hyde, they don't have a big running back. And to me, that can be a problem. But, yeah, it's not that difficult. If you want to be able to play the Chiefs, and especially when they're shorthanded, because outside of Kelce, they don't have a bunch of good route runners. They got a bunch of guys who are fast. But running routes against man-to-man requires skill, and that's what you could see in last night's game. One, Sammy Watkins, very good route runner. Tyreek Hill has developed into a good route runner. You remove those guys, you ain't got nothing but a bunch of other fast guys out there, and that's what I saw in basically three quarters of the game yesterday.
Andy Reid said after the game, this team got outplayed in every phase of it. O-line, D-line, penalties, big-name players. How much of it was it that they got out-schemed and outplayed, and how much of it was, as you guys have been talking about, really just ball control and keeping the ball away from that Chiefs
offense? Well, I think those two are inextricably tied. One of the reasons they got outplayed was because the Colts' game plan was ball control. The Colts' game plan was you cannot block our offensive line. They ran the ball 45 times for 180 yards. Jacoby Brissett was played fine. Like, he made one big mistake, but they did not want Jacoby to become a big part of this game.
I think that ball control is a way to beat Kansas City, but when you look at the tail of the tape, the Colts got the best offensive line.
Yeah.
And they realized, listen, forget about if this was, oh, this team's a fast break team. How are we going to win this game? Even if Kansas City didn't have the track record. Oh, I'm getting ready to bust them in their face. I'm getting ready to run off this left side because we are that good on the offensive line. So regardless of what the game plan is to beat Kansas City, Indy played to their strong suit after an awful game last week against the Raiders where they sleepwalked through the first half of the game and tried to make a comeback at the end. But they have a huge advantage over Kansas City up front. And I believe that offensive line, it should be the best in football.
And I think the real story of this game, as well as the Colts ran the ball, is what the Colts defense did. Going into this game, Patrick Mahomes played 23 games with the Kansas City Chiefs. They had scored at least 26 points in a league record, all 23 of them. You added a couple games on the previous end. I think the record was 25 straight with at least 26 points if you add the Alex Smith era. But every game Mahomes had played, Chiefs had scored at least 26 points. They were held to half of that. Why? It wasn't because the Colts were doing anything exotic. Man coverage and rushing the quarterback is not some wildcat version of defense. The Chiefs did not have the personnel on the field yesterday to deal with the Colts pass rushers. And to Chris's point, they did not have the receivers on the field who could beat man coverage. I think when Eric Fisher gets back, which will be a little bit now, by the way, the offensive line will get better. And obviously, when Tyreek Hill gets back, which might be next week, they have a player who can beat man coverage. Sammy Watkins, he should be back next week, but injuries have been what has derailed his entire career. So we can't act like Sammy Watkins missing a game with a soft tissue injury is an outlier event. So I don't think this is a trend. I don't think all of a sudden Mahomes and the Chiefs offense is going to be solved. But if they can't keep him upright when the opposition's rushing four, they're going to have trouble against any team, much less a team as physically gifted as the Colts.
Seeing what you saw with Mahomes' ankle, are you concerned at all? Is that the kind of thing that might flare up and be an issue moving forward?
No, I'm not concerned about his ankle. He got cleated. If his ankle had rolled over, I'd have been more concerned. But basically, a big guy, 320 pounds, all that pressure, all that impact of those cleats, I hope he had on rubber ones compared to metal ones. They went into his foot. So it's more pain. But what I am concerned about is they're on a list with two other teams, and that's the Miami Dolphins and the Arizona Cardinals. They're the only team to be able to give up three 100-yard rushers. We only played five games. Now, you didn't give up 300-yard rushers. Dennis Green, and the reason why a number of prolific offensive teams have never won the Super Bowl, really the only one you can say is the greatest show on turf, the Rams. The rest of us, the Vikings, and all those other teams that led the NFL in scoring, the reason why we didn't make it, because offensive football is hard to play. When you play it well, people take it for granted. But about once or twice a month, you're going to play a bad game. And typically that once or twice typically comes in either cold weather, outdoor somewhere, someone's running the ball on you. So, no, it's not a new book of how to beat Kansas City. It's the same book on how to beat any team that's explosive like them and does not have a great defense. Let's keep the ball away from them and know that offensive football is hard to play. In 1998 Vikings, we broke the NFL scoring record. Only two games we didn't score 30 points that season. Those are the only two games we lost. Regular season 15-1. We lost to Atlanta Falcons 30-27, I think, in overtime. So it's happened not only to Kansas City yesterday. It's happened to all the great offenses for the most part.
The 07 Pats. They got the offense died in the Super Bowl.
Undefeated. So all these great offensive teams that we've seen through the years, one of them, the St. Louis Rams, have won the big prize.
Mahomes hurt his ankle in the week one game against Jacksonville. He's been dealing with it a bit ever since. They've been wrapping it. So I don't think the ankle was the reason they lost, and I think it'll be fine with the ankle moving forward.
All right, moving on to the Patriots. Tom Brady threw for 348 yards and three touchdowns in a rout over Washington. The Pats now sit in first place in the AFC after the Chiefs lost last night. CeCe, what did you take away from the Patriots' 33-7 win over Washington?
Well, I was a little concerned how they struggled early in the game. And that offensive line, I mean, they got some real, real problems.
Really?
No show is covering the NFL on a weekly basis talks about Dante Scarnecchia as much as we have.
That is true.
I mean, no one does. People are like, oh, who is that guy? It's a guy that the offensive line coach, they brought out of retirement, that he basically is responsible for a couple of those Super Bowls. But with the wholesale changes, they got two new starters, left tackle for the fourth starter, the third starter in 4 years. Like, they are struggling at left tackle. David Andrews, who I thought was their best offensive lineman, being done for the year at center, that's hurt them. Man, Washington, I haven't seen Washington rush the passer like that since they had Dexter Manley in the Joe Gibbs days. I mean, I was like, where'd this rush come from?
Man, four sacks, nine quarterback hits.
They were all over Brady and missed him a bunch of times. So for me, that's what I took from it. Their wide receiving core, we know that they're not explosive. Sony Michel did show back up in week number five. We were wondering where he had been the first month of the season. But, Jenna, it's just normal. They're just good enough just to win. I'm not going to change my prediction. 14-2, they're going to cruise through the regular season, and they're going to probably give away that last game, all right? Their next 10 games, they're only going to lose one game in that. They're going to have home field advantage. AFC championship, if you want to win it, it's got to go through Gillette.
Nick. So, listen, what Chris is talking about as far as their struggles, if you didn't watch the game, you're like, what? They won 33-7. Why are you?
Yeah, because you didn't watch the game.
You didn't watch the game. And once again, Bill Belichick has to go home at night and quietly say to himself, man, I can't believe teams continually make the decisions they do against us. This was a two-point game with 30 seconds left in the first half. Washington backed up on their own inside their own 25. Washington go to the half down two feeling good. Now let's have Colt McCoy drop back and just throw a ball directly to, I think it was one of the McCourties, for an interception, set up the Patriots score right before the half. And the Patriots, defense, obviously, the Patriots, it's as good as advertised, if not better. Here's a stat I've never seen something like it. Through 5 weeks, the Patriots have 11 interceptions and zero pass touchdowns allowed. The Patriots' defense and special teams have scored three touchdowns. Their defense has allowed two touchdowns. Those two touchdowns are a Josh Allen quarterback sneak, and in this game, a 65-yard run by a wide receiver. The defense is exceptional. But it is hard to separate their 5-0 start from their level of competition. You saw on the screen earlier, their opponents are combined 5-18. Well, it's worse than that. They've dominated four games. Those four games against Pittsburgh, Miami, the Jets, and Washington, those teams are combined 1-17.
Wow.
They've been pushed in one game. That was the one game, the 4-1 team, Buffalo Bills, because that team had a defense that could really create pressure on Brady. I agree with almost everything Chris said about their regular season. I said before the year, I think they're going to be the one seed. I think they are going to win 13 or 14 games. But I think Brady is in a position he's not used to being in, which is he cannot rely on his offensive line to hold up for even 3 seconds.
No.
He is, and you can see it, and he is having as quick of a trigger as anyone in football, and it's led to some bad mistakes. He threw a, when this game was still in the balance, he threw a ridiculous interception in the red zone
early. 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row he's thrown bad red zone interceptions. Absolutely right.
And I can guarantee you there hadn't been a Monday that Tom Brady's been as sore as he wakes up today. I don't care how much avocado ice cream and all that mess he's eating, Jenna. The way that offensive line, the lack of talent that they had, and showing how Washington, now that's something that you will see duplicated because that offensive line, they will have issues all year. Getting Brady to the postseason healthy is the number one goal. It's more important than what their record is.
And if they're not going to go 14-2, it's going to be because when they go through the stretch of Cleveland, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Dallas, four straight teams with a legitimate pass rush, how does their offense handle it? And is Brady able to stay not dinged throughout that month of football?
And Tom Brady needs to find, he's going to need to find someone else to throw the ball to besides Edelman. It's clearly not Josh Gordon. Yesterday they had the run game going with James White and Sony Michel, but they hadn't had that in the prior
Very inconsistent.
All right, moving on to the Packers. They improved to 4-1 yesterday with a big win over the Cowboys. It was the tale of the Aarons. Aaron Rodgers was good. Aaron Jones was great. Led the way with four touchdowns and a career-high 182 yards from scrimmage. He is the first Green Bay player with four rushing touchdowns in a game since 2000. Packers sit in first place in the NFC North. Here's Aaron Rodgers after the game.
I just think we're just a more connected team this year. We're enjoying each other more. We like each other, I think, a little more. We hang out with each other. It's the locker room is a raucous environment. Whether it's a, you know, a Monday or whether it's right after a big win, I just think guys really, really play for each other more. And we have that chemistry that, because of the leadership that we have, that maybe we've been lacking the last couple of years.
Slight little knock or dig on whoever was in charge the last couple of years. We know. What do you make of Aaron Rodgers saying we like each other more, we have better chemistry, we play for each other more? What do you make of that, Steve?
I'm not going to pay too much attention to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers does a lot of press conferences and says a lot of things. And what I think is when they spent their money in free agency and they spent those high draft picks on that secondary, those guys have personalities that aren't normal like Green Bay players. I know the Smith brothers. And I know what they expect, and in a locker room that they've been a part of, they came to Green Bay and they told them, we want you to act exactly like you are. So they brought a sense of energy. The defense is well run, but now the defense feels like they got ownership in this team. He said the locker room, it's more rambunctious and everything. They've opened it up. It was very, very conservative, and a lot of that was not only the team, but was because the main leader in Aaron Rodgers. He don't want the locker room that way. So did Aaron change? Huh? Did he change? Did he change the leadership? Because he's only leading half the team. And that's the offensive side of the ball. Green Bay is a good football team. And the thing that's most impressive about them has been their schedule. We thought that they would change their identity. We thought Aaron Rodgers would have a defense. But you look at the first five games of the schedule, it's impressive where they are and how they've done it. And if they have a sense of identity. Right now, teams are in crisis management. Well, who are we? What are we trying to be? Green Bay has a sense of identity in winning without Davante Adams. If they can continue to spread the ball around, we know they have a defense. Let's give Aaron what he's never had. Let's give him a running game. And that was the Green Bay Packers yesterday. Aaron Rodgers at his best. No, not saving the day. Playing conservative, making some throws, running the offense, and that newfound energy that they have on the defense, it paid dividends because they destroyed Dallas's offensive line. And you could see these younger players having more of an imprint on what they're trying to do. This is not the normal Green Bay organization, how they like to do things.
When Chris talks about the schedule, when you see in the first five games of the season, Green Bay is going to have to go to Chicago and to Dallas while playing Minnesota and Philly at home. To be able to go 3-1 in those four games is wildly impressive. It is an incredibly difficult way to start the season. They also had Denver mixed in there, which they, of course, also beat. And so there is that part of it. Now, to Aaron Rodgers' comments, Jenna, I don't think he's just talking about Matt LaFleur versus Mike McCarthy. I think that's part of it. I think it's also leadership on defense. I think he's talking about bringing in quality, proven veterans, not just rookies, but the Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, those guys who have, one of them, I think it's Za'Darius, is a team captain. You see the C on his jersey as he was sacking Dak repeatedly yesterday. Guys that come in.
Did you see that edginess that he had, though?
Absolutely.
Did you see the personal fouls? And that's normal, not a Green Bay player.
And he comes in empowered. He's been paid. He's been a highly productive pro elsewhere. And it's not that he has nothing to prove, but he has already proven.
No, he's got a lot. No, he's got a, because he's not worth that money. on paper. He has not played to that money.
Sure, that's fair. My point is it's someone who has already established themselves in this league enough to get that type of contract to be brought in as a difference maker. Those guys are leaders. But the only people who denied that Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy were sick of each other at the end were Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Everyone else understood that was a truism to it. So Aaron Rodgers essentially saying Matt LaFleur's been a breath of fresh air, I don't think that should be a surprise. The surprise was Aaron Jones and what he was able to do against that Dallas defense. That was the concern going into the game. Were they going to be committed to the run? Mm-hmm. Were they going to allow Aaron Jones when we knew Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to have his full array of weapons to throw to? And Aaron Jones responded with the best game of his career. 100 rushing, 75 receiving. And by the way, those concerns we had going into the game about the Packers wide receivers were proven true. Even though Green Bay scored 34 points, no wide receiver had more than 2 catches. Their wide receivers in total had 5 catches for 78 yards. Aaron Jones was their most productive pass catcher. Then it was tight ends. Hell, Trey Carson, the backup running back, had a couple catches out of the backfield. But this Green Bay team looks like a Super Bowl favorite. Why? Because they don't have to rely on Aaron Rodgers game in, game out. But I think all of us feel like when they do need to, especially if Devontae's back, he'll be able to come through. And to get through this part of the schedule almost unscathed, maybe you could have been unscathed, a little better play calling against Philadelphia, you've got to feel great because it's not going to be this hard throughout the entirety of the season.
Do you credit more Aaron Rodgers for being able to do more with less on offense, or do you credit Matt LaFleur being able to scheme more of a running-based offense yesterday?
Matt LaFleur was calling the plays. He had a game plan that was going to emphasize Aaron Jones. And Aaron Rodgers, if he could have, Aaron Rodgers always believed his throw the ball. It wouldn't have been Aaron Rodgers' game plan. We're going to run Aaron Jones, spread the ball around. Now, I know they ran the ball. But was that just because of the injuries? You know, Jamal Williams, the other running back, they've been splitting carries. So, yes, Aaron Jones, he had a great day. But did they wake up today in Green Bay and say, you know something, this guy's going to rush for 1,200 yards this year? And that part, I don't know about Green Bay. Why? Because they relied on Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams gets healthy, they go right back to doing exactly what they did before. So I just think it's still a little bit early as far as are they the Super Bowl favorite. But right now, they've been the most impressive as far as who they've played, what they've done, and based on talent on paper to what's on the field,
yep,
they are one of the best teams we have in the league.
All right, good stuff. Green Bay Packers 4-1. Back here, first things first, joined by former Pro Bowler Bart Scott. Good morning, Bart.
What's up, man? What it do? Top of the morning.
What it's doing.
I like that velour right there.
Thank you very
much. Seasonally appropriate right there.
Yep.
Seasonally appropriate.
That's how we do it.
Gun show still out, though.
Gun show, seasons, all of it, Bart. You bring so much. Now let's talk football.
There we go.
America's game of the week. Packers coming out swinging in Dallas. Yesterday, midway through the first, Aaron Jones. How about Aaron Jones? Runs 18 yards to the end zone to put Green Bay up 7-0. One of 4 touchdowns on the day for Jones. Pick this up in the fourth. 10:29 left. Dak trying to get the boys back in this. Oh, that's never going to help.
Miscommunication. I like it. Tell him about it, too.
Zadarius telling him about it, too. Fading hopes for Dallas as they were trailing by 10. But Brett Maher with a 33-yarder, that is not good. That would have gotten them within a touchdown. Packers win. They improved to 4-1. Here's Dak Prescott after losing back-to-back games.
We'll take this one on the chin. We're going to take the good, take the bad. We're going to learn from it. And hopefully we'll look back at this and say this was a turning point or this was good for us. Sure, we might have sniffed ourselves a little bit too much. And that's why I said we take these last two games and especially this one and say, hey, we probably needed that, right? We probably needed that and we're going to get better because of it. That's why I said maybe we'll look back at this 4 or 5 games later, or how many ever games it is, and say that was good for us because we became the team that we are now. And the men that we have in the locker room, there's no doubt in my mind that's what we'll do.
Do you believe Dak? You think Dak was a little too confident? You think this team came in sniffing themselves, if you will, walking out onto the field thinking they were better than they really were?
What's that you got on? I got a little YSL on today.
It's called arrogance. Smell it. Absolutely. It's called I told you. Because I sat here early in the season, we were all talking about, oh, Dak Prescott, and we saw the start he got off to. Give him $40 million. He's just putting money in the bank.
And I was one of them. I was one of them. Not the money amount, but, man, he had improved drastically. Yeah. Let's give him $35 million. I don't care. You did. Go ahead.
Giants, Dolphins, Redskins. Now he's playing the varsity. Now what's happening when he's playing a quarterback that his equal or his superior on the other side? What happens when we see they take away, you know, Zeke to 62 yards the last 2 weeks? Now it's in his hands, and he has to make decisions, smart decisions down the field, interceptions, you know, miscommunications with his receivers. You know, and you talk about this defense. This is the first time that I saw this defense, you know, over-pursue. You have fast linebackers. What you have to have is you got to have disciplined linebackers that keep their shoulders square to the line of scrimmage so that when you have that windback play, the old school Jamal Lewis, what we used to do, when mm-hmm. he ran for 2,000 yards, you got to have linebackers that know how to fall back. And they're great on the outsides, but they're weak up the middle, and they exploited that, you know, they exploited that part of their defense. And I don't want to hear anything about Tyron Smith being hurt, because I look over up until, you know, New England, the Providence area, and I know that they're missing three of their best offensive linemen, but elite quarterbacks can patch up those holes, right? And Dak Prescott is not he's a good quarterback. He's not great, and he's damn sure not special, right? And, you know, when I said they made the comparison that I'll go get Teddy Bridgewater, well, a couple of weeks into his starting week three, you see what he looks like when he starts to push the ball down the field. This is a team that, you know, Garrett doesn't have an extension. You know, so he's coaching scared.
Ooh, man, for Jason Garrett.
Well, that's what happens when you get me Monday, man, when I'm rested. Give me more on Monday. I bring a hot fire. Spit some hot lava for you.
Go on with your
But you got, you know, Jared that's coaching scared, right? And you think maybe mm-hmm. Austin is breathing down his back, you know, another young, you know, first time, you know, coaching candidate.
Wow.
And we're saying that this team, and listen, this is your best chance. Because once you play Dak, then you're going to lose your top corner.
You might have to move on from one of the offensive linemen.
Well, you shouldn't have gave Sean Lee the money anyway, because you felt good, because it was one of, like, my homeboys, you know, mm-hmm. circle of trust. You should have let him go. You could have got a little bit more help.
But, all right, so to put some numbers with the truth that you're spitting right now, the Dallas Cowboys, since Zeke's been there, if he doesn't go for 75 yards, they're 1-8. So I know some people are going to look at Zeke and say, last two games, that's why you don't pay a running back. No, last two games are why you paid Zeke, because without him, you are a very beatable football team. The last two games, he hasn't played like himself. He needs to play better than he's played the last couple of weeks.
12 carries, though.
But you're right. Yesterday, they got forced out
down
of their
31-3.
They got forced out of the running game. Dak Prescott, the first three games against what you called the junior varsity. The Giants, Dolphins, and Washington. A 128 rating, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks, and is on everyone's MVP leaderboard. The last two games, a 78 rating, down 50 points, 2 touchdowns, and most importantly, 4 interceptions. The Dallas Cowboys, over the last 3-plus years, have a spectacular record. I apologize, I don't have it right in front of me. When Dak simply plays a clean game. They win over 90% of their games when Dak simply doesn't turn the ball over, because they have a very good offensive line. Typically, it was banged up yesterday. They have a good defense. They have a great running back. And I understand that all those picks were not on Dak, but we can't say none of them were on him. And he got away with one that was called back because of illegal contact down or illegal hands to the face on the defense. This was the most concerning part to me, C, and you keyed on this earlier, was when Dak said maybe we were sniffing ourselves. They're just coming off a loss. They just were coming off a game where they scored 10 points and lost to a backup quarterback, even if it's a really good one, Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. I don't know. If he'd have said that after the New Orleans game, I'd have gotten it. Because three games, they had dominated all three, right? But they should have already had their wake-up call. And so I don't think the Cowboys are as bad as they looked in the first three quarters yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're as good as they looked the first three games of the season.
One thing that you guys didn't bring up, I think you guys are missing. You guys said that the score was out of hand. You guys went to when the lead was at its biggest, 31-3. But it's really 17-0. At halftime, when you go in at halftime and you got a running back like Zeke, we're only down by 17 points. Oh, the running game is not gone.
Yep.
So for me, it's also that offensive line is not dominant. Because that running game was not taken away from them. At that point, you can still run the football. But they do have some problems. And one thing that Dak was saying, that I know this because I got a lot of good friends. Emmitt Smith's still a good friend of mine. I'm in communication with him. Troy Aikman's a friend of mine. Michael Irvin's a friend of mine. And there's a reason why all of them live in Dallas. Because the people love them. But when he says that we were smelling ourselves, I don't believe it's in the building. I believe that's just living in Dallas, yep, walking around Dallas, and what people are saying to him. And they're still a young football team. So, Dak, I'm listening to you in the press conference. That's the only way, Jenna, a young team like that, given they had just lost to New Orleans, only scored 10 points, could even be like, we're smelling us. For him to say that, it wasn't like someone said that and forced him into saying that. No, he came up with that. That maybe we were too overconfident.
Well, you saw they came out slow. They came out what looked to be uninspired against a very hyped matchup. I mean, this was the game of the week. It was a one of 2 4 o'clock games. And this was a really big game. They just didn't come out as if they were ready to play.
This is how fragile things are. Because Dallas did drive the football.
They got a 3-and-out and they drove football first.
Yeah, and then Amari turns it over.
And that was it. And then they were deflated.
But that energy, when they turned that football over and Green Bay went back the other way, it ignited Green Bay. And Green Bay could be patient as far as, okay, what's our game plan? And they went about trying to duplicate what they thought they were going to do before the game.
So who's the real Cowboys team? Is it the team that you saw in the first couple of weeks, or is it the team when they're not playing, when they are playing quality opponents? Is that the team?
It's somewhere in the middle, right? It's never as bad or as good as we think it is. It's somewhere in the middle. But I think this is more also about the improvements that the Packers have made, because if Adams don't go out last week with the toe, then they beat the Eagles. Right, so this is more about the improvements and the commitment to excellence and trying to really win a Super Bowl while they have a great quarterback more than anything. The only thing that the Green Bay Packers is missing is a dominant nose guard that'll keep these linebackers clean. But they're only going to continue to get better. Aaron Rodgers is only going to get more comfortable with his offense and figure out what works. So this is more about, I feel, Green Bay and where they're going to be. I think they're going to be one of the finalists, when it comes to trying to be in the NFC Championship / the Super Bowl.
And one other thing, as has been a constant theme for Dallas over the last few years, they do not have an answer when they don't have Tyron Smith. Once again, their left tackle is out, and once again, the offense struggles mightily. I understand he is a great player, and at one point he was probably the best left tackle in football, and still has the ability to get up to that level. But Tyron Smith is not Joe Thomas. He is a guy who's going to miss time. And when he is out there, they're just like the numbers fall off a cliff when Zeke doesn't play well. The numbers fall off a cliff when Tyron Smith either isn't healthy or he's not in the, or he doesn't play, as happened yesterday, and then has added injury to insult, if you will. They lost their right tackle during the game as well, and they had no answer.
We'll start calling you Rain, man. You got all the stats.
Appreciate
man.
You.
Have you seen the show?
Yeah.
This is his beats. Chiefs lose 19-13. Here is Patrick Mahomes after the game.
They played good defense. I mean, they played man coverage. They rushed with four people, and they found ways to get pressure and to cover long enough. And so for us, I mean, Detroit did it last week. New England did it in the playoffs. I mean, we're gonna have to beat man coverage at the end of the day, and we got the guys to do it. So now it's about just going out there and executing whenever teams present it to us.
All right, Bart. There's a blue plan. There's a blueprint for it. The Colts found it.
Blueprint plan.
You got all that?
Yeah, we got it. No problem.
You know where it worked? In my head.
No problem.
How did the Colts upset the Chiefs, Bart?
Well, Mahomes said it, a four-man rush, which allows you to get seven men in pass coverage. And you want to play press, but now that allows you to have two people deep. So it allows you to play tight man. It's what we always played against Tom Brady, because it makes the throw have to be perfect. And it gives you somebody, if somebody messes up or gets beat immediately off the line of scrimmage.
Now, Bart, explain this to me, because typically those concepts don't go together. As far as four-man rush, three-man rush, those are the minimum amount of people you can rush, and playing typically zone behind it, that's a tremendous identity change from I'm only going to rush four, but I'm going to play man-to-man behind that.
Because what happens is it's more of a matchup zone, because you still have two zone defenders that can help anybody that gets hurt or anybody that's in distress, and you know who you're going to help based off the formation, based on the matchups, because a defender knows and a safety should know where the matchup that the quarterback wants to go to, because they know, we know that this guy is our third corner, so we know this is where you're going to attack. So now you're able to change change your coverages. You can run trap coverages. You can run where, okay, you got outside leverage, you got inside leverage, you can bump them at the line of scrimmage. You can run combination coverages and make the same defense look totally different at different times based on the formation. If I have trips to one side, then the backside I can lock up because you only have two guys, and you take your best defender or your worst defender and put it on their worst guy. And now also what they're doing is, because you're not running the ball enough, I'm stopping the run in a light box because I'm disrespecting your offensive line.
Did we know the Colts defense was capable of doing that?
I didn't know they were capable of doing it without Darius Leonard. Yeah. They were without their best defensive player.
Yes.
Right. They banged up injuries all over the secondary. Only the Browns have a more injured secondary right now. Their star linebacker, Darius Leonard, was out. And they still manhandled the Chiefs because their defensive line annihilated the Chiefs' offensive line.
They have two veterans on the outside. You think about Sheard or you think about Houston. Yep. Not letting the ball get outside.
Smart football player.
When you go up the middle, you get dirty yards. They force you to get the dirty yards, not to get the big explosive plays. We watched Shady McCoy have one big explosive run, but they're able to get the ball out and get turnovers. And what happens is when you hold the ball for 37 minutes, then you limit the opportunities that the Chiefs get to be explosive down the field. And you're forcing Mahomes to be special too much, right? It's great to make one or two special plays. The same thing make you laugh, make you cry, because on one of those last plays, he had, you know, pirouetted and moved and went three different ways early in the first half, threw it across his body for the touchdown. It was beautiful. Tried it again, got sacked. So the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. You can't ask a player like Mahomes, I don't care how special he is, to be special all the time, because you can't have a play where, okay, drop back 5 yards, Mahomes, go be special, go get open. That's not
especially
a play.
Especially when, by the way, he was playing going into the game with a slightly gimpy ankle that became even more gimpy as we saw during
first
the game.
First half, too.
Right, so you saw that he, once his mobility was limited, given the way they were getting pressure on the quarterback, he was limited. He had his worst game of the season. Now, he still managed not to turn the ball over and threw for 300 yards, but his worst game of the season, and most importantly, this is the first game since he's been the starting quarterback of the Chiefs. Their offense has been held in check. They've scored 26 points in every game he's ever played till last night, where they only scored 13. But this was the Colts' defense was great. And their offense was great for their defense because Chiefs only ran 12 plays in the first 27 minutes second half. The Colts kept the football. They kept running the football. The Chiefs went into the game, similar to last year, 31st in the NFL in rush defense. They have not been able to stop the run. So that, to me, is more of a concern blueprint-wise, because I don't think, maybe the Colts did set the blueprint for slowing down the Chiefs' offense, which was really the Lions' blueprint the week before, which was really the Patriots' blueprint from last season. But when the Chiefs get their left tackle and Tyreek Hill back and Sammy Watkins whenever he plays, that man-to-man coverage is not going to work as well. Eric Fisher will hold up better. The left guard hopefully won't get hurt during the game, and Tyreek Hill can split man coverage. But none of that matters if the offense is on the sideline. And the Chiefs could not – it was third and short repeatedly. When they didn't pick up a third down, it was fourth and inches. They went for those fourth downs. And the Chiefs could not get the requisite stops. The Chiefs were in this game in part because Tyrann Mathieu made a hell of a play.
Yeah.
An interception when the Colts were driving to score. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs could have lost last week. Like, the Chiefs could have lost against Detroit. They were fortunate not to. They had a 99-yard defensive touchdown to flip that game. So, until the Chiefs get healthy in particular, there are going to be games like this where they can be beaten if the offense doesn't do what it does most of the time, which is go high-flying and put you in a position where you get out of your run game.
If we were in college, we could use injuries as an excuse because it's acceptable.
Sure.
It's everywhere in the NFL.
Yeah.
And we can't expect, oh, man, what if they come back? What if they get injured again? So they're only good if they're healthy. Like, this is a blueprint. Yes, this is what you want to do. Patty Mahomes has got to be able to decide, though. Every once in a while, he's got to be able to run. Last week, fourth down, they were in two-man, which is almost, it's still the same four-man rush. Them safeties going to split. They're playing bump underneath, trying to rob everything. He decided to run. Last night, he was not a threat to run.
But you want to know why that worked before? Because the Lions were playing that old Tony Gonzalez vice Kelsey, and they got away with it a couple of times with the two linebackers. And then what happened is he recognized it, and the defense split, and then he took off. The Colts didn't present that opportunity. They were pretty much bumping, Kelsey with one defender.
Right. Patty Mahomes is in the situation Aaron Rodgers is in. All right? When you said, hey, man, we want you to be magical, this is the way Aaron was when he was younger.
Yep.
And remember, that's what we like. Oh, man, he's the greatest thrower ever. Oh, he's the GOAT. And then they started to catch up to him because now Aaron don't want to run. Why? Because he's had multiple injuries. Patty Mahomes, the answer is always to run, playing that type of defense and the threat of being able to run. Now, when Tyreek Hill was not in there, and Kelce had an awful game. Yep. He had a couple drops. He was not on his game. So they didn't have typically the luxury of Tyreek Hill, number one wide receiver. Travis Kelce, a number one wide receiver. They got those other guys. They're fast, but they're not good route runners. There's a reason why those other guys are backups. Straight line, if we were having a relay race, yes, they would be great. But if we went to the combine and put some cones in front of them and had them run some real wide receiver drills, no, that they're not. That is not their skill set. So we can't just assume Sammy Watkins is going to be healthy for the first time since Clemson. All right? So we just ask, oh, the left tackle, if he's going to come back. But what if he gets injured again? Tyreek Hill has a very, very unusual chest injury. He's going to fall on his chest. What if that comes back? So be careful with this Patty Mahomes trying to be sensational all the time. We need a better game plan. We need an inside runner to be able to run and get first downs. And when you get to the red zone, you have to be more physical. One out of three in the red zone. Is this a blueprint? Yes. All the offensive dominated teams for the last 50 years, they all lose the same way. Ball control, turnovers. Keep the ball away from them. No defense. It's hard to win championships with no defense.
Bart, thanks so much for hanging out today.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
All right, on to the Packers and Cowboys in the much-anticipated matchup of the week. But this one was over early as the Cowboys came out slow, seemingly mismatched. Zeke had a strong first half with 58 rushing yards, but he finished the game with just four more yards in the second half. Hard to feed your star running back when you're behind as many as 28 points. Here's Zeke after yesterday's loss.
Just don't ask me about any officiating questions. I'm never going to be the guy to go out there and be like, hey, we lost because of the refs. I mean, at the end of the day, we got to look in the mirror as a team and realize that we shot ourselves in the foot too many times. It wasn't the refs. I mean, they weren't perfect. I mean, they weren't great. But, I mean, we got to look in the mirror and see that there was a lot of things that we could have done fixed that we could have done to win that ball game and not just look to blame the refs.
It wasn't the refs. I mean, they weren't great, but it wasn't the refs. See, are the Cowboys closer to the team that started 3-0 or the team that's now lost two in a row?
Well, they're identity crisis. The people that are Cowboys fans, they love to think that, man, it's got to be those first three games. But the last 2 weeks, I can't erase that from my memory. Going to New Orleans, Teddy Bridgewater, which Teddy Bridgewater is a legitimate starter now. He's 3-0, but coming back home. And it's not that they lost two games. I'm more concerned about the six awful quarters of offensive football that they play. Because I was concerned the first quarter after what they did in New Orleans. I was like, man, they'll pick it up the second quarter. In that second quarter, they go to halftime. No points on the board. I mean, I'm like, wow, they've got – now this is starting to become a trend. Now the second half, I'm not surprised they were to get back in the game. Defense are going to play soft, and there's yardage there to be had. But you'd have to be concerned when you are facing what we would call – tested teams, veteran teams that are used to potentially being in a playoff run. We know New Orleans the last several years. We'd like to think Green Bay. A lot of people picked them. Some people, Nick, picked them as to represent the NFC. These are teams that are going to be there. You'd like to be able to see how you face against, and it hasn't been good the last two games. So to me, because I can be, you know, you know, unbiased. Mm-hmm. To me, it's closer to the team that won against those bad teams compared to New Orleans. I can't disregard. I do believe Dak's a better passer. But with their offensive line, can Kellen Moore come up with a game plan to protect that offensive line? This is his first time ever doing this. Now, how's he going to do it with the depleted roster? I don't know that, and I can't depend on that. So I would say that, yes, without Amari, when Amari Cooper's not healthy, all right, they're going to have problems. Michael Gallup, they need to get him back healthy. I thought the passing game would be further along. And against the Saints and against the Packers, quality teams, their passing game was not up to snuff. So I would say, Jenna, I think they're closer to a team that's better than bad teams. But when they face good teams,
and they're not good, and that's when they face good teams, they don't play well. And the problem there is, of course, we all agree if this Cowboys season ends in them not making the playoffs, it's a disaster for them, right? Okay, they're going to be Giants teams in the playoffs. Washington, they're going to get to play them in the playoffs. Miami, they're going to get to, no. You know who you play in the playoffs? Green Bay's, New Orleans, Seattle, maybe Philadelphia. Hey, I could almost guarantee you this. If the Cowboys are to make the NFC Championship game, they will have to go through either New Orleans or Green Bay on the road there. I'd be shocked if they didn't. I think those are the two best teams in the conference right now. And Jerry Jones concerned. Jerry Jones said after the game, quote, we've played two teams that have it together, and we looked bad. Yeah, you did. And that is one of the reasons when we talk about New England, even though they're 5-0 and they have all the numbers say New England's just totally dominant, the little small asterisk I have is, okay, but let's see the quality of competition. Dallas, we got a nice line of demarcation. First three, second two. You play three of the worst teams in football. Giants have looked better as of late, but they didn't play the Daniel Jones Giants. Nope. They played the Eli Manning Giants. And then you play two quality opponents. And Dak has played his two worst games of the year. Zeke has played his two worst games of the year. The defense yesterday played its worst game of the year. And that was at home. And the most concerning thing to me for Dallas is this, see. They got punched in the stomach early. I get it. You force a three and out. You're moving the football. Looks like you're about to go up 7-0. And then Dak delivers a nice pass a little bit behind Amari. But Amari drops it and it's picked off. That is a stomach punch. To not respond to that, to have that be, okay, well, it's all the way they played over the next 30 minutes of football, it was like you couldn't recover from it. There was 55 minutes of football left when this play happened. The Cowboys didn't wake up for another 35 minutes of football. That's what was so disappointing, because they clearly had some semblance of a game plan where they could move the ball, where they could stop Green Bay, and they went away from it. So I think it's reason to be concerned in Dallas. We've talked about the NFC, about how deep the NFC is, how many teams have at least three wins. Big difference, we said going into the week, one of these teams, Dallas or Green Bay, the 3-1, the 3-0 start's going to feel like ages ago.
Yep.
Because they're going to be 3-2. That's now the Dallas Cowboys.
We also now have a couple of questions about Dak Prescott. What's the stat you give when Zeke rushes for under 75 yards?
They're 1-8. If Zeke doesn't hit 75 yards rushing.
When he doesn't have the comfort level of Ezekiel Elliott, how concerned are you with Dak Prescott?
Well, I'm concerned because they're not winning. I do know that he's improved as a passer. And I would say Dak didn't have a bad day throwing the ball. He threw two bad balls. The one was behind Amari. He's supposed to make that catch. Open up his hips, catch it. Even if he misses it, the ball's supposed to go down compared to knocking it up. And then this route right here, where the wide receivers are too close together, there wasn't enough air. He didn't put enough air, and he didn't see that corner there because he was off to the flat and came off from the other receiver to pick it off. Besides that, he didn't play a bad game. I know we like to scrutinize him and everything, so he's throwing the ball better. Now, he can be throwing the ball better and them still not getting the results based on the holes in that offensive line, the lack of a dominant running game, and you can't turn the ball over and win in the NFL. So I do believe Dak's improved as a passer. I'm not going to overreact, but I am concerned when you can't look good offensively against New Orleans, who gave you a lot of man-to-man coverage, and when Green Bay, in the middle of this game, the first half and the first half of the third quarter, Green Bay was shutting down this offense. Yes, I'm concerned about that offense moving forward.
All right, don't look now, but the Saints look awfully good without Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater leading New Orleans to a big win over the Bucs. Teddy had a day, throwing for 314 passing yards and four touchdowns. He connected with Michael Thomas to the tune of 11 catches for 182 yards. Teddy Bridgewater is now 3-0 as the Saints starter this season. Here's what he had to say after the game.
I'm glad to be a part of this team, a part of this organization. It just feels good to be somewhere where you're accepted and you appreciate it.
You told me before this game that you want to win every game, but you feel like you're already winning. How so?
Man, every morning I wake up, I'm able to put my feet on the ground. I'm able to tie my own shoes. There was a time in my life where I wasn't able to do that. And I'm just able to come to work every day with this locker room, this group of guys, and demand greatness out of every one of them. And this locker room, they demand greatness out of me and out of each other. So when you can come to work and get the best out of everyone, you're winning in life. So we were able to win on the football field and in life. So it's a great feeling.
A very grounded young man, very special young man there who appreciates everything he has been through and everything that has sort of come his way as a result. What'd you make of Teddy Bridgewater, how he's been playing since?
Yeah, you're right. He is a special guy. It's different when you hear different guys in front of the mic. Their life experience, typically you get a little snapshot of it. I talked to people that were riding in the ambulance that he was in when he shattered his knee. He went back in practice in a normal drill. And he went back to plant, and his knee folded in a way that it can't fold. And in doing that, he had potential artery damage. He was concerned about losing his leg when he was riding to the hospital with the medical staff there with the Vikings. So he was always very, very special to the Vikings. He was never able to get back his leg strength. He was never able to get back to full strength. That's why he bounced around to a couple places. And you could even see under Sean Payton for 3 weeks how much more he's grown. Even in last year in spot duty, he wasn't as good as he is now. And now he's better than he's ever been. He was a game manager who does have good arm strength. But now playing in this system with their overall design, he can flight the ball, playing indoors, he can thrive. And you can see that the coach has confidence in the interview. People have confidence in him. Teddy Bridgewater is a special human being. It doesn't always work out this way, Jenna, but what a great story in New Orleans. Drew Brees on the rack. Oh, our season? No. We have a guy that's more than a placement holder in Teddy Bridgewater. And you're right. He is that special. It's not he's acting for the camera. This is who Teddy Bridgewater is when he was in Miami, Miami Northwestern High School, leading them to state championships. People thought he was special. He was always underrated. That's why he had to leave the state of Florida and go to Louisville. He was prolific, throwing the ball there, winning a whole bunch of games. Then all of a sudden the draft's coming out.
He almost falls out of the first round.
People start downgrading him for all these types of reasons that were unfounded. But Teddy Bridgewater, what a great story. Sean Payton, you got to give him a lot of credit for making that investment in him and getting Teddy Bridgewater ready.
To me, there's two stories running parallel to each other right now. There's the story of Teddy Bridgewater and the story of the 52 guys and the coaching staff around him. On Teddy Bridgewater, that was the best game of his career. 300 yards, four touchdowns. He was not a caretaker there. He was leading the charge for New Orleans against a very live Tampa team now. That Tampa team was a field goal, a missed chip shot field goal away from coming into this game 3-1 and feeling great about themselves. We saw what Tampa did last week, going across the country and beating up on the Rams. So that Tampa team came in feeling good, and Teddy Bridgewater played the best game he's ever played to get to 3-0. With not no soft schedule here. At Seattle, home for Dallas, home for Tampa. It's a spectacular job by Teddy Bridgewater. But the other story is what an excellent team New Orleans appears to have. For New Orleans to lose Drew Brees and to be able to win a game against Dallas defensively. Mm-hmm. For New Orleans to lose Drew Brees and not panic, not do what Pittsburgh did when they lost Big Ben. We're trade a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick, which they're going to end up regretting. They knew how good this team was. Marcus Davenport starting to come into his own. They didn't even need a monster Alvin Kamara game because Teddy played so well. And now you're in a spot where we see the videos of Drew Brees, maybe he's ahead of schedule, but they don't have to rush him back.
Not at all.
They needed to go 3-3, 4-2 would be great without Drew Brees. They're 3-0 already, and their next four, Jacksonville, Chicago, Arizona. Jacksonville just lost. Chicago just lost. Arizona's got their first win of the year. Like, you feel like, could this team, if you miss the full six games, go 5-1? Could New Orleans still be first place in their division when Drew Brees gets back? I think the answer to that is yes, to testament to how good Teddy is, but also how good the rest of that roster is.
The knock on Teddy Bridgewater the last couple weeks, when we thought he was just going to be a play stopper until Drew Brees came back, was,
yes,
well, he can't throw the ball more than 15 yards. He can't get a guy downfield. Mm-hmm. What did you see yesterday that maybe changed your mind about that?
Well, Tampa Bay gave him some looks that they took advantage of. Tampa Bay's given up a lot of big plays as far as the passing game, so they realized, Teddy, we're not going to be able to play this close to the vest. We can't dink and dunk him. And my man from Buckeyes, Mike came
Thomas
up big. Mike was dominant in the game. He had a lot of catch and run in the game. So besides the double post that they ran with Teddy Ginn getting the ball down the middle where they blew their coverage, they were in too deep there. The Mike linebacker didn't get deep enough, and they gave him too much time to throw. Most of those throws were intermediate throws where guys took off with it. So Teddy is still going to be somewhat of a game manager, but he has hell of a confidence after being with Sean Payton and knowing we got great special teams, and the defense is really underrated and can create some turnovers for that offense. So I think Teddy's in a spot that he's never been in his career since he's been in the NFL, Nick.
Man, Jen, I love the backup quarterback story so much. If Teddy wins next week, she's going to bench Drew Brees.
I'm telling you.
If Teddy wins next week, she's going to come on this show and say, I don't think you can go back, Drew Brees. I think you got to ride the hot hand.
I love Gardner. You know, I love
Teddy. And you know who they're playing next week? Gardner.
Gardner Minshew. Yeah. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.